Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the Samina Spin. I'm your host, Samina Mogul. Hope everyone is well on this beautiful Wednesday evening. Today, I'm going to be talking about growing up in the 80s. Before I start, though, I'd like to share with you a quote from the book Pride and Prejudice, from one of my favorite characters in literature, Elizabeth Bennet. She said, "You must learn some of my philosophy. Think only of the past as its remembrance gives you pleasure." That's how I like to think of the past. I like to think of the memories that made me happy. If there are lessons I need to revisit, then I do that, but not too often. I have so many fond memories of growing up in the 80s. In many ways, it molded me to be the confident woman I am today. For one thing, I know how to navigate if something is new. I don't expect anyone to hand anything to me or do it for me. Unless it's fixing something or putting something together, I'm not doing that shit. But if I'm in a new place or new situation, I take it all in, tap into what I know first, and then I'll ask someone a question. I'm just not a helpless person because someone or no one ever coddled me and or just did something for me. The practical shit that some kids don't know how to do today baffles me. Some of those things are just basic survival skills. I did them. Like, I can light a match. I can tell time on a clock that has hands on it. I know where to get an envelope. I know where to put the stamp. I'm mentioning these things because I literally have seen high school kids who don't know how to do them. I remember more than once telling a kid where to get a stamp and an envelope because they needed to send something to college and they never mailed a letter before. I know I probably sound like a dinosaur because most things are online or digital now, but there are those occasions where you will run into someone who is a dinosaur and they want something done old school. Like, I actually have to write out a check and mail my condo fees because my management office hasn't stepped into the millennium yet. I can't just go online and pay it. I have to physically send the check. It is the only letter I mail now, but I do it because I have no choice. Technology has made things more simple, but in some ways, it's made us dumber. Like, some of us have to figure out, 10 years old, where to get an envelope, that kind of thing. In the 80s, you didn't have certain things. No smartphones, no high-speed internet. You actually had to look at a book to research shit. Because I knew how to do things without technology, I'm well equipped to handle most curves that life throws at me. I love that. Another thing I loved about the 80s is that we were made to be resilient. We rode bikes without suiting up like we were going to play football. If we got a few cuts and bruises, it wasn't the end of the world. I remember when I was 8, Dad's van that my uncle had to pull out. We were on our way back from a funeral. My poor dad was trying to take a nap in the van. My mom was in another car with some other family members. I don't even remember. And I remember that my brother was driving. I think that's why my brother was driving, because my dad wanted to take a nap. That part is a little unclear. But anyway, my dad was not driving. He was taking a nap. And the poor man was woken up from his nap by my scream when I stepped on that fish hook and it went into the sole of my foot. I never forgot how he just jumped up. He was like, "Whoa, what happened?" And I think he held onto me as my uncle pulled out the fish hook. I don't quite remember what he did after that. But I do remember I didn't get patted on my head. They just did what had to be done. And I forgot about it by the afternoon. Another time, one of my teeth felt funny and loose. And of course, so for some reason, I thought it was a good idea to go show it to my father. So I come up to my father. He looked at it for all of 5 seconds and pulled it out. I walked away thinking, what just happened? My tooth is gone. So again, no awe, are you okay? Just yanked it out and sent me on my merry way. But I was okay. I didn't cry. It didn't hurt. I didn't even feel it when he yanked it out. But it was fine. In any case, kids in my family, and I was number 8. By the time my parents came around to me, I think as long as we were all still alive at the end of each day, they were okay. I recall one of us getting taken to the hospital. In all the years we grew up, just one of us got taken to the hospital. But that was some real shit. It was actually some real scary shit. I was in 4th grade, and I remember it clearly to this day. My brother had an accident where part of his finger got chopped off by a motorcycle chain. I'm not even joking about this. I remember him coming into the house, and he comes up to my oldest sister, and he's literally holding on to his finger, and he said, I think you're going to have to take me to the hospital. She looks at him. She says, why? And he showed her his finger. And then it was chaos from that point. But we got him to the hospital. And I remember when he came back from the hospital, he literally, was it his left hand? I don't quite remember now. But he literally had his whole hand bandaged up from the tips of his fingers to his forearm. And even with that, he still insisted on driving a car. And I think my father even let him drive a car. I say all that to say he was tough. He was a tough kid, even from the time he was little. But I remember it wasn't just my family who had that kind of toughness. Everybody I knew was tough like that. Everybody in my neighborhood, all my brother's friends, all my sister's friends, all my friends, we were just tough. Now, you can hardly give a kid something interesting to eat because they're either allergic to peanuts or milk or some other shit we ate with no problem in the 80s. Who remembers Sweet Tarts? Spree. Big League Chew. The gumballs that look like baseballs. I live for those. I always wanted those. I don't know why, but I just always wanted those. And I love the Big League Chew and the Sweet Tarts. They were so sugary. Ugh, I feel like I'm getting a cavity just thinking about it right now. But that was also a time where you could get gum for a quarter and a candy bar for 30 cents. See, now, though, we know that the food coloring in those candies will kill you. Pretty much a lot of the stuff that we ate with no problem in the 80s will pretty much kill you now. But, you know, we didn't know that back then. I guess ignorance is bliss, for real. But in any case, I love 7-Eleven and their Slurpees. Big Wheels. I don't even know if they even have those anymore. For those of you who don't know what a Big Wheel is, it's basically a round ice cream sandwich, and it's thick. It's so good. I really don't think they have those anymore. Hey, if anyone wants to call in and see if they still have those Big Wheels, please do. Our guest is 323-642-1775. Please call in. Tell me if they still have the Big Wheels or not. Or just chime in with one of your favorite stories growing up in the 80s. I'd love to hear it. Another thing I loved about the 80s was Saturday morning cartoons and just the shows that we used to watch in general. The Smurfs. I love the Smurfs. I used to have all these little Smurf figurines that I would collect, and then I had this thing. I don't even know what they're called, but you press the buttons on the side, and the Smurf does flips. I remember having one of those things, and I loved it. I remember, I think it was after school, that I would come home and watch He-Man. And who remembers He-Man and his sister, She-Ra? And Skeletor, who remembers all that? I mean, that was the best cartoon. And then there was Schoolhouse Rock, Conjunction Junction, What's Your Function? I think a lot of us learned what a conjunction was through Schoolhouse Rock. I think we learned how a bill became a law through Schoolhouse Rock and not our history class. I mean, we had some cool shows. Oh, the after-school special. I think those came on at 4 o'clock. I remember coming home, having my bowl of cereal, and watching that. I love the after-school special. I don't even know what kids watch now. I think they still have Nickelodeon. I'm pretty sure they have Nickelodeon, although I don't watch Nickelodeon. I actually don't even watch that much TV anymore. But when I did, I used to watch. I was a little too young for Taxi, but Taxi was a cool show. I used to watch Cheers. I used to watch Family Ties. They were great shows. Now, I don't really watch too much network television. I do watch This Is Us, though. That pretty much makes me cry every time I watch it, me and millions of other people. But anyway, there were a lot of shows that I enjoyed during the 80s. The Greatest American Hero. The other thing about growing up in the 80s, we knew what failure was. And we were allowed to fail because you learn from it. Now, we're just so worried about protecting people's feelings. A few years ago, a friend of mine in the military told me how him and the other commanding officers couldn't raise their voices to new recruits. Now, I'm not big on yelling at people, but when you're training someone to go into a field of battle, ideally, you don't want them to go into a field of battle. They have to. You want them to be prepared. Now, if you send someone into battle, is someone on the opposing side going to be concerned about his or her feelings? No, because they're going to be too busy trying to kill them in some way or torture them or whatever. Point is, you don't get prepared to go to war because somebody's nice to you and pats you on the head and tells you how great you are. Well, some people just learn the hard way. I hope they don't, but they might. When we're too soft on people, we're not really preparing them for the unexpected and sometimes unpleasant shit in life. That's a disservice. We take away learning opportunities when we're so afraid about how someone is going to feel. Of course, there is a way you tell someone they could do something better. You don't get nasty or make them feel bad, but at least tell them and tell them what they can do to do better, or maybe tell them what they're doing right first and then tell them what they're doing wrong. But to not even tell them that they're messing up or this isn't the way to do it, again, you're taking away someone's learning opportunity. Because even if it doesn't feel good, failure is a learning opportunity. Everyone is so sensitive and delicate. Getting bumped and bruised once in a while, whether it's emotional or physical, made you stronger. We knew that in the 80s. Okay, looks like we have a caller. Hello.
Hi there. It's Adam again. He-Man.
How are you, Adam?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm wonderful. I'm wonderful. Do you have an 80s story for us today?
I just remember growing up watching He-Man in the 80s. I also remembered School Rock, which was a pretty good program. It used to come on, and you're right. You used to learn a lot from it, but they made learning fun. A lot of the cartoons we have nowadays, a lot of stuff we watch on TV, no education. It's just mindless stuff.
Yeah. I mean, we had some good shows, and we learned a thing or two, right?
Yep.
I wish
some of those shows would come back. You could still see a few out there online. There's a few episodes of the He-Man, but you really have to go hunting for them if you really want to find them, because they don't even have them in syndicate anymore.
No, unless you go to the Cartoon Network. I catch Tom and Jerry on there once in a while. So Cartoon Network
Tom
might
and Jerry is still popular.
I know.
And then
I know.
Remember the Pink Panther.
What was that, Adam?
I also remember the Pink Panther back in the 80s.
Oh, yeah. Flintstones. Actually, I don't think the Flintstones. The Flintstones was before the 80s, but I swear I remember watching it in the 80s. But, yeah, we had a lot of good television.
Yeah, they still had it going on in the 80s, too. Uh-huh.
Yeah, kids coming up now, they missed out. But, you know, they have plenty of their own stuff, you know. But we had some good stuff back in the day.
True. Well, thanks for having me on air. I wish you the best.
Oh, thank you for calling, Adam.
Thank you.
Yeah, we had the best television. I also loved 80s music. Again, I'm probably a dinosaur, but you had real musicians who actually played instruments. They weren't fucking auto-tuned. MTV actually played music videos. Whose idea was it to make shows about teenage and 20-something fuck-ups the heart of a network? If you're going to call yourself music television, play actual music. Maybe MTV2 still does, but I'm not even sure. I don't really watch music videos anymore anyway, because I can't find them. And honestly, it's just too much work to find MTV2. When I did watch videos, I remember watching Madonna, Bruce Springsteen, Michael Jackson, and Prince become superstars. I don't consider Madonna a top-notch musician, but she could actually sing. She knew how to put on a show while pushing the envelope. She was a great entertainer. She is a great entertainer. I also remember as a little girl, I spent so much time looking through my brother's albums, and I mean actual albums with vinyl and great cover art. Purple Rain with Prince in a purple trench coat on a purple motorcycle with the purple vinyl LP inside was perfection. Bruce Springsteen's cover for Born in the USA was so simple but profound. Bruce Springsteen standing in front of an American flag and a white t-shirt and jeans with a worn down red cap hanging out of his back pocket. That cover exemplified that the working man is the backbone of this country. U2's War had an angry and sad little boy with a cut on his lip on the cover. That cover just showed who really suffers in war. Album covers that made a statement. That's what we had in the 80s. Couple that with great music videos, and music was a visual and auditory experience. We actually had to sit near a radio to listen to new music. We had to wait for it to come on the station. The DJs were the conduits of information from the music world to the public. That's how we learned about concerts and, you know, who was touring and who had a new album come out and all of that. We had to wait in anticipation for it. We built excitement over it. With videos, we had to wait for the world premiere on MTV. I remember the first ever music video on MTV in 1981. It was the Buggles' Video Killed the Radio Star. I remember when the network premiered. There was a moon man. There was an animated moon man putting the MTV flag on the moon. I remember switching channels on the cable TV box. Before remotes, that was the thing you fought for when you wanted to watch something. I remember playing games that you would actually play on a physical board with other people. I played Parcheesi with my aunt, who was serious about her Parcheesi. She loved to play and she loved to win. I played Clue, Operation, Simon Says, and Hungry Hungry Hippos. I loved Hungry Hungry Hippos. I played Candyland, Monopoly, and Life. Monopoly was serious shit in my family. Everybody loved to gang up on my one brother because he was a bad winner and would taunt you to within an inch of your life if you lost to him. When my cousin was losing, he would disappear and go to bed without telling anyone. 1 minute, got up to say he was going to the bathroom, and then 20 minutes later, you checked on him and he was snoring in his room. These were fun games that you didn't need a computer for. And putting my hand on my heart right now, I discovered Prince in the 80s. He had albums before that, but at that time I was listening to whatever my brothers and sisters were listening to, and they weren't listening to him before the 80s. So I remember it was 1983 or 82, watching the 1999 video for the first time. It is one of my standout memories for that time and for all time. I was watching it with my sister. And started dramatically. Dan, 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 dan. And everybody in the band was on the stage, not moving. Intro was playing. So it was a performance video. It was just strictly performance. Two girls on a keyboard wearing lingerie. Another guy playing keyboards. Then two guys playing bass and guitar on the bottom stage. One guy was at the top. They formed a little triangle. And, of course, that guy at the top was Prince. The three of them were dancing in time while playing. So I'm watching this and thinking, what is this? I don't know if I said that out loud, but my sister called it New Wave. I was just hooked from the sense in a video. I was just hooked. You just could not take your eyes off him. And anytime you see him in a video or in an interview or in concert, you just can't take your eyes off him. That began an idolization that endures till this day. Even though he's on the other side, he still has that place in my heart. If you know me, you know how much Prince means to me. Started in the 80s with that video. I saw him four times in concert. Two of the shows I went to the box office myself and got. I don't remember which two shows, but I know going to the box office and getting tickets. I miss doing that. I miss waiting in line for concert tickets. Way back in the day, people would camp out for certain shows, and tickets were cheap. At most, you would pay $20. I think the average was about $12 for concert tickets. And you could actually trust a scalper because you would go out there. He would still charge you an arm and a leg, but you physically saw the tickets and you had them in your hand as soon as you paid them. Now you just take your chances when you go online. You may or may not get the tickets. I've actually been pretty lucky with that, but, you know, you take your chances nonetheless. When you had physical paper tickets, you could save the ticket stubs as a memory. do that with e-tickets. They're convenient, but you can't do that. You also connected with people you're already in line with. I was trying to get rush tickets in 2015 and went straight to the box office. Way in line, I bonded with another woman as we were talking about the myth that women don't like rush. Because she said, yeah, me and my friends, we were a whole group of women that went. And I said, yeah, I like rush too. So there's more of us than you would think. But we talked about that. I think overall, we connected with each other more in the 80s. I really feel like that. We just connected with each other overall, like in more meaningful ways. We didn't have the distractions we do now. How many of us, when we're waiting in line somewhere, look at our phones instead of paying attention around us where we are? I mean, and I'm guilty of that one myself. Like we have a lot of distractions now. The other thing, I'm part of Generation X, the slackers and the cynics. We grew up in the Reagan era, for Christ's sake. We had a lot to be cynical about. But I still love growing up during that time. I really did. I love growing up in the 80s. I love Wham, the Go-Go's, Duran Duran. I loved how we focused on ourselves but cared about the world at the same time. We were real motherfuckers who understood life and who could handle it. I am grateful for the lessons of that time. Shakespeare said, "What is past is prologue." Hell, if I didn't have a great prologue. For those of you who remember the 80s, I hope you enjoyed this stroll down memory lane. For those of you who don't, I hope I gave you an amusing history lesson. If you like what I had to say, you want to hear more, you want to read more, I have two books available on Amazon, Scheherazade's Daughters and the Siddiqui Brothers in Cairo. I also have the Behind and Beyond the Veil blog at my website, www.sabinakmogul.com. Come check me out when you get a moment. Thank you for joining me this evening. Until next time, that's the Samina Spin. Good night and love and light.